At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome into the New Orleans Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad.
The sweet fruits of victory.
The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Welcome to the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I am Joe Cardosi, joined by the indomitable Jim Eichenhofer. And Jim, I gotta say, it is I'm gonna call it Sweet Fruits of Victory Friday, because the Pelicans won against the Trailblazers. Couldn't think of a more needed win. We hollered about it ourselves on the podcast, and we did it. And now onward, my friend.
Yes, indeed. It was a great win. I mean, it kind of made me think a little bit about one of the things that I've learned from being here for quite some time, is how long the season is.
Yeah.
I mean, you go into that game thinking they've lost four games in a row, things are looking really bleak, but really sometimes just one win can change the whole scope of the season,
the whole mood is different. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, okay, they just won that game and they're good now. They need to keep winning.
Yes. Yeah.
But that was massive to be able to get that win. To me, it did feel a little bit like a relief of like, okay, everybody take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Your top two guys had great games. You got a bunch of good contributions from players that you know can do well, that some of them maybe either haven't been playing that much lately, or when they have played have had kind of a slump. So all great across the board. To come through in the fourth quarter like that was also huge. And just to get a road win against anyone was quality stuff.
You're just being able to hear a good Graf dagger. Having the dagger faced outward instead of inward was just beautiful.
Yes.
And I can't say that I enjoyed much of the game as well as B.I. was playing, and C.J. McCollum, when, you know, quietly had 24 points of his own. It was just no time to exhale. I just was so, because I think in the third quarter, the Pelicans were still trailing going into that one.
Yep.
And it was still, you know, Damian Lillard is still Damian Lillard. He still got, 40 points of his own, or 41 points of his own. Mm-hmm. And I just could not relax until, I think, in the final couple minutes when the Pelicans were like comfortably leading.
Yes.
And, B.I. was able to sit on the bench while the Pelicans kept the lead. I was able to go, I believe we're going to do it now.
Yes.
And now, I'm looking at the schedule. Okay, the Warriors, back-to-back. They're coming off a back-to-back. They got no Steph Curry. Going to be tough, but I think the Pelicans are going to be scrappy. Kings, we smacked them in the mouth before, but they're feeling themselves. Both of those are going to be on the road. But then you got the Mavs, who seem like they're having trouble figuring it out. They don't scare me anymore. Thunder, who you should be able to take. The Trailblazers, let's hope we can keep them in their place again. The Lakers, minus LeBron. And you don't know what they're going to look like at that point. Then you got the Rockets twice. You got the Spurs, the Hornets. Jim, I see a juicy buffet in front of me all of a sudden.
Wow.
I know I don't want to, start counting wins. We've learned our lesson there. But,
sure,
after that Portland win against a tough opponent that's nipping at your heels, I feel better.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what Golden State looks like tonight. I mean, it's so odd that this is the third time the Pelicans have played them, and this is the third time that this is the second night of a back-to-back for the Warriors. Now, early in the season, they always sat Klay Thompson in back-to-backs. They sat Draymond and a couple other guys in some of their back-to-backs, including the ones that they played here in the Smoothie King Center. That hasn't been the case lately. They have been using those guys both nights, so I'm expecting that we'll see them. But I am curious, though, to wonder if, maybe that they will have a guy on their injury report that they submit this afternoon that's not going to play. We kind of have to wait. It's a 3:00 central deadline before they submit that.
Yeah, we're recording this early, so, we're not oracles, as much as we like to say Jim is one.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, Andrew Wiggins has been out for them for a while for personal reasons as well, and he didn't play last night, so I'm assuming that he's probably still going to be sidelined, but It's interesting. I tweeted this morning. They're 11-3 at home this year when Curry doesn't play, which is so impressive to me.
Yeah, like, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, to be able to have that kind of record, they've been horrible on the road. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, they've just been bad.
Yeah.
Regardless of who's been on the court, they're 2-9 when on the road when Curry doesn't play. But they've been able to beat a bunch of good teams at home. So I don't think anyone, even when Curry isn't playing, is going into the Chase Center saying, like, eh, we can just show up and
juicy
win
matchup.
This game. I mean, this is gonna be a tough one. I will say
this is the toughest one in this stretch as I look at it. I mean, the Kings are higher seeded, but when I look at the Warriors Kings, the Warriors still scare me more than the Kings.
Sure. And by the way, thank you to the Golden State Warriors for having, it sounds like Curry's gonna come back Sunday against the Lakers.
Yeah.
I think that's excellent. I think that's excellent timing for him to return to the court.
Oh, absolutely. I've still been watching that dunk over AD's back just on a loop. Man, it was great to see Ingram get that 40 burger. And Ingram's been just absolutely going off. His last 10 games, he's averaging, almost 30 points, 29.5 mm-hmm. points, something like that.
Yeah.
And you got to hope that he's going to have it again in Golden State. I mean, what are you looking at? You had your five keys that you put out earlier today. Check it out at @Jim_Eichenhofer on Twitter. He's always got the good info. But what are you looking for, in terms of carryover from last game to the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, if they can carry over, that they had no turnovers in the second half of the game. But also, I mean, for B.I. and C.J. to have the kind of quality performances again tonight against the Warriors that they had Wednesday would be big. It's funny, if you look across the NBA, the scoring explosions that have been happening over the last 10 games, B.I. is seventh among all players in scoring average. He's just under 30 points a game. So, I mean, that's incredible that he's still at that level. And he's actually also almost at 50-40-90 in terms of his field goal percentage is a little over 50. His three-point is slightly under 40, and his free throws are slightly under 90. So, I mean, the guy's not only scoring a ton, but it's not like he's taking a million shots to do it.
Right.
So, I mean, the guy's just been awesome over the last couple weeks.
And we couldn't need it more now. Especially, if you look at the Pelicans and the Trailblazers, it looks like we might have a tangled web. As long as we can keep them underfoot, you can hope that, maybe they fall off and sit there with the Lakers and whatnot. But man, they are just nipping at our heels, and we're going to play them a bunch of times coming up. So you got to hope that we can continue just sort of putting them in their place, keeping them back there, and moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to get into this maybe more next week, but the tail end of the upcoming homestand is all three teams that are behind the Pelicans right now in the standings. Pelicans are 10th as we record this Friday morning. 11, 12, 13 is Portland, Lakers, OKC, and they play all three of those teams in the homestand. So, I mean, there's a bunch of opportunities to just win the game. Don't worry about the scoreboard.
Right.
Just beat the other team that's playing in front of you.
Yes.
Add a gap to the advantage that you have over them, which is exactly what the Pelicans did Wednesday by beating Portland.
But as you said, so many opportunities for twofers as you look at the standings. The Jazz are sitting right ahead of the Pelicans at 9, and you never know what's going to happen there. T-Wolves at 8. You look at everyone ahead of the Pelicans, and the thing is, I called 6, or I'm going to grow the Elfrid Payton hair. Still going to do that, still growing it out, just in case. But Jazz, T-Wolves, Clippers, Mavs, all sitting ahead of the Pelicans, 9, 8, 7, 6. And, when I look at them and the Pelicans healthy with Zion about to be reevaluated, none of them instill fear in me. And I'm trying not to be cocky. I'm trying not to feel ourselves too much, like after one win, but I still feel like the Pelicans, with the dark times behind us, when you look at the schedule ahead, I feel pretty good, man.
And over this recent stretch among those teams that you listed, I mean, to be honest, none of them are playing that well.
No
one has really strung together a bunch of wins. If anything, among the group,
especially the Mavs.
Right. Between the group of, say, between 5 and 13, I think the team that's actually playing the best right now is Golden State. They've won a few games in a row, and they're about to get Steph back. So, but yeah, among the teams that are just ahead of the Pelicans, no one has really been able to put together a 7-3 stretch over 10 games or 8-2 or something like that where they would separate. And as a result, you have all of these teams just totally bunched together within a game or so.
It just seems like 1, 2, 3, 4, that's pretty cemented. But then there's just this loosening right after that where who knows, you know? Right. So the Pelicans are in a juicy position. Hey, our guest today is Ali Cosell of the Bird Rights. He is always just an absolute ray of sunshine, and we needed that. We thought we booked him, to be honest, when things were a little dark. Hey, we might need Ali. Let's get old Ollie
talk
in
us
here.
Down a little bit.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because we needed it. But then, hey, we won, and then all of a sudden, Ollie just fits the mood. So, man, let's get to him. Mr. Ali Cosell of the Bird Rights, always glad to have him on the podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Joining us on the Pelicans podcast, the editor-in-chief of the Bird Rights. So glad to have him on in winning times, Mr. Ali Cosell. Ali, how are you doing? Are you riding the high of the Portland win still?
Absolutely. I'm so happy the calendar flipped to March. I don't know about you guys, but that was a welcome sigh after what happened in January and February.
Undefeated in March, Jim. Undefeated in March. So
best
far.
Team in the league in March so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Ali, I mean, what were some of your biggest takeaways from that win? I mean, beyond just getting the win, it just seemed like it was a kind of a relief to get into the victory column. But, I mean, what were some of the things that you took away that made you feel the best as far as going forward these last 20-ish games?
Yeah, there were a lot of good positives, actually, Jim. But a couple of my favorites were one, it seemed like the defense really found itself. It started playing with force again. And I noticed that Larry Nance, he joined us faces. I don't know if you guys have heard.
Yeah, Chris. I saw that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so he joined that and said that basically the Pelicans' identity is to really just play with force, right? To be so pesky and to be so annoying that you're the last team, if you're an opponent, that wants to play the Pelicans, right? So you never want to see them on the schedule. And I felt like that's what they got back to in that game against Portland, to where I know Damian Lillard, he went up for 41 points. But, boy, he felt the pressure the entire game.
Yeah, it's less than 71.
Right. C.J. McCollum picked him up full court to start the game, and that kind of set the tone. A lot of other defenders rotated on him. They started double-teaming him in certain situations, denying him the ball. And so you weren't burned by his three-point ball or his playmaking. I mean, it's incredible. He had zero assists for the game. So you love what the Pelicans did defensively, and then offensively, right? They've been having so much trouble scoring points. And so you love that one. Brandon Ingram, who's been playing really well, right, since the start of February, but he really took his game seemingly yet to another level. And in the entire offense, they had 6 turnovers for the day. So that combined with, like I said, having your superstar really lead you, well, that was a nice recipe for success that the Pelicans often utilized last season, right? And even this season, once Brandon started missing some games and it was just really Zion left with, you know, CJ was there as a compliment. But Pelicans play best when it's either Brandon or Zion leading them, and then CJ can fill that secondary role. So, like I said, there were so many positive guys. Loved it. And I think that maybe, you know, you hope that it can carry over.
Interesting to see some of the rotations. I know it was injuries, you know, and like you said, it was interesting to see the Pelicans be pesky without Jose Alvarado. One of the interesting rotations that I saw was Herb at the 5. It almost seemed like the death lineup for the Pelicans, that small ball lineup, especially with Nance out, having to get creative at the 5 position. It was interesting to see. And is that something that you think, you know, they can see some of those rotations going forward since it was encouraging?
Yes, absolutely. And it's something we've been talking about or hearing anyways across the fan base, when you read other sites, that going small is the way to go. And the Pelicans kind of have the versatility to be able to pull that off. And so when Jackson Hayes got in a little bit of foul trouble, I think he picked up his 4th foul late in the 3rd quarter. That's when Willie Green first decided to go to that small ball lineup. I think there was about a minute and some seconds left in that 3rd quarter. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's when really the game changed, right? It was a close game up until that point. And then the Pelicans basically from that point onwards really outscored the Trailblazers, holding them defensively while they got their points. And a big part of that success can be, of course, pointed to going small. Herb, you know, we've seen him, right? He struggles shooting the outside shot. And even though I don't have personally an issue with him getting playing time because he does so many other positive things, that you still wanted to find him a better role offensively, right? And rather than standing in the corner. Mm-hmm. And so by doing that, having him at the five, it allowed him to start moving out there on the court more, right? And really talked about that, right? Put him in the pick and rolls, allowed him to drive, initiate, right, at times. That's something that Herb we've seen can do because he can handle the ball as well as play make. So I loved it. And I think that Larry, who's probably going to be out, seems like for at least a little bit while longer, I hope that Willie goes to this, going playing small, because it certainly worked out for a team. Because you're not always going to be able to play, right? A lot of opponents with your traditional bigs, whether it's with Giannis or Billy, you've just got to match up with what you basically need to do that night. So going small, I think that offers him a really good option moving forward.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much this factored into it or how much this contributed to it, but Valley Sports New Orleans had a really good stat that I thought was interesting, that the Pelicans, you mentioned, Ali, how they had only six turnovers in the game Wednesday against Portland. Valley Sports mentioned that they had zero turnovers in the second half, and that was the first time, according to them, since 2008 that the Pelicans had a half of any game where they had zero turnovers. So that was definitely a big positive and helped them, you know, get 121 points and get back into where the offense looks good. Another thing, too, we talk about guys stepping in for other guys offensively all the time where, okay, this player's out, we need more points from this player, but it's not something that we bring up defensively too much, but you mentioned, Ali, how, you know, Larry Nance said in the Twitter spaces that the Pelicans need to be known for being aggressive and flying around on defense. I think it's a lot easier to do that when they have Larry Nance on the court, as well as obviously Jose Alvarado is one of the most disruptive defensive players in the league. So I thought it was great to see Jackson Hayes be able to fill some of that role at center. Also, Jonas Valanciunas is out as well. So I think you need him to be that athletic big guy in that five. You know, a lot of guards, a lot of opposing teams are going to attack some of the slower fives. They were kind of attacking Billy Hernan Gomez a little bit too, because he's not that comfortable like out in space guarding. And then I thought CJ did a good job as well, as maybe not doing exactly some of the stuff that Jose did, but I mean, you don't expect him to be picking up guys full court or picking up Lillard deep on the floor, but given that Lillard had 71 points and that he can make shots from half court, I thought that those were all really valuable things. And I mean, I know the Warriors don't have Curry tonight, but I mean, a lot of these similar traits that they brought to the court, I think Wednesday are going to come in huge in these next couple games on the road trip.
Yeah, without a doubt. I love that CJ is the one that walked away with a win, right? Even though he scored maybe half as many points as Damian. But I thought, you're right, Jim. Defensively, first, four, five, six possessions for Portland. CJ was on Dame. And guess what? Dame wasn't lighting him up. Damian didn't really start getting into his scoring groove, it felt like, until more towards the second quarter and such. I think a big reason, like you just mentioned, McCollum, he set that tone. And he said afterwards that's what he wanted to do, right? And look, I think everybody had already come into this game amped up, wanting to get off the snide, right, get that win. And, of course, Portland, right, they're right there in the standings with you. So you've got to beat your opponents, especially the ones that are below you, keep them out of the, you know, playoff and the play-in picture. So you love that. And Jackson, yeah, it seems like there's every season – Jackson has a stretch where he plays, you know, fantastic basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping this is the start of, you know, in his fourth season where he can provide that for the team, because he's really not been a factor for most of the season. And yeah, in that game against Portland, I don't know how they win that game without him. Sure. He's got, of course, his usual, he's a great outlet for whether it's on rolls or just in transition to get you some easy buckets, right? Where, you know, anybody can find him just sort of up near the rim, he's going to go get it. But I loved all the other things he did. I mean, having two steals, two blocks, and he had some big rebounds. He's not known for rebounding, but he did take care of the glass in certain situations. So if you can get that, and I don't think he barely missed a shot from the field, if you can get that from him, that'll be huge moving forward, especially in the absence of Larry Nance, who, like I said, I think Willie Green grew a little bit partial to, because he just likes what Larry brought, right? The versatility defensively. And you don't really have that with Billy. or Jonas, as you said, Jim, but you do with Jackson. If Jackson's playing well, boy, that would be huge for this team moving forward.
Cincy love, Jim. Cincinnati love.
That's right. I mean, what did you think of
That's
your,
right, Moeller. That's right, Moeller love.
Fellow Ohio guy. It's funny, I think, I mean, last season, obviously, he ended up being in the starting lineup the last couple months of the regular season and then the playoffs because Zion was out the whole year. This year, or at least right now, I mean, Jonas Valanciunas is listed as doubtful to play against the Warriors. I mean, it might be a situation where really he has to step up now and deliver. I mean, he's just in a situation, I think, where, I mean, between he and Billy Hernan Gomez, I mean, maybe it's possible, though, that we will see a surge. I mean, were there certain things that you saw in the game Wednesday that made you think, like, okay, maybe he's going to go through one of these stretches where he's a big contributor?
Yeah, Jim, you've got to think that Jackson, right, he's got to be largely fresh, maybe the freshest body outside of, what, Kyra Lewis, and maybe just have one or two others on that Pelicans bench. So you've got that going for yourself if you're Jackson. But on top of that, he's now familiar, right, with all these teammates and his role on this team. This is Willie Green's second season. So he's largely knows what he should be doing out there on the court. And I love the fact that, you know, he was out there switching as Larry Nance would have been switching. There was times when he ended up with Damian Lillard, 35 feet from the basket. And guess what? Dame didn't burn him for an easy bucket, especially a three. And he wasn't fouling him. That sometimes has been one of Jackson's problems, right? Just like a few other younger guys on his team. You have a propensity to foul because you're not in a perfect or a good position defensively. But there's none of those issues whatsoever. So seeing him be so focused, I think that's where it makes me think that he, you know, you can probably pencil him in for at least the rest of this road trip or for how long Jonas remains out. You need the body. And so a lot of times younger players, when they know they're going to be playing a certain night, they will bring a certain different energy and focus. And Jackson may be one of those players.
It's interesting to see. You know, Jonas has just been absolutely worn down. We've seen him just become slower as he's, you know, become more plodding as his body's just sort of seeing all those, the result of all those minutes. And like you said, Jackson is a fresh body. He brings all that athleticism. And I think what was interesting to see is Pelicans fans trusting Jackson in those minutes. A lot of times Jackson would come in and even though he offered athleticism and some spark, you'd see a five-point swing because of, like you said, the foul trouble or just not understanding a defensive assignment. But seeing Jackson lock in, playing good defense, like you said, not getting burned, it's just so encouraging, especially with the availability to play Herb at the five and play some of those small ball lineups. What do you see in terms of what we saw last game that we could maybe bring against the Warriors? They're coming off a back-to-back, which is good news for the Pelicans. We'll take any advantage we can get. No Steph Curry, which is, again, we'll take any advantage we can get as we got to chip away at these Warriors. Is there anything that you saw last game that you think might be clutch against these Warriors as we face them tonight?
Yeah, I like how stylistically they're going to be able to match up, right? Where we saw Herb, Dyson, all these rotation of defensive guards on Damian Lillard, they're going to be able to do the same thing to Klay Thompson, who since I think the calendar flipped to 2023 has been one of the best offensive players in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been shooting lights out. He's gotten his efficiency back, right? It took him a while after overcoming all those injuries he had, but it feels like it's happened for him this season. So you're going to have to be slowing down another, you know, big-time scorer. I think he's averaging close to 28 points per game since then. And, of course, there's another one, Jordan Poole. So it's almost, to me, like you've got Damian Lillard and Jeremiah Grant out there again because, look, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, they can score with the best of them. And so the Pelicans have the bodies to do that. And so I like that you can probably kind of take that same type of game plan, right? Where you're not going to let Klay Thompson beat you. So you're going to throw some different looks at him. You're going to pick him up full court at times if by chance he's bringing up the ball, but more so you're going to be looking to deny him the ball or throw some doubles at him. He doesn't have quite the athleticism and speed as Dame too, which is what I kind of like. And so he's got a little bit more girth and height, but guess what? Pelicans have those bodies, right? Herb and Dyson in particular. So I like the matchup, and I'll tell you what, Jackson Hayes, he's probably going to fit into Willie's plans again because you're going to go up against Kevon Looney. You know, that's one thing Portland didn't have. They had Drew Eubanks as largely their only legitimate center.
Right.
He's more of a plotter, right? He's a slower guy. and he doesn't play above the rim, but Kevon Looney does, and he's been really crashing the glass fantastically for Golden State. So I'm a little bit worried about the second chance points. So that's where, like I said, I hope Jackson can carry over that energy to provide, he give you 10, 15 minutes. So whether Jonas plays or not, or when Billy's playing or has to take a rest, that you can fill and not get abused right on the glass. Because that at times has been a problem for this team. Seems like during those two awful months of February and January, opponents found a lot of different ways to beat the Pelicans. But one thing that stuck in my mind was whenever Jonas took a seat, Pelicans had major troubles corralling those defensive rebounds. Yeah. So, like I said, I think that the Pelicans now have a better idea of who's going to be on the court, and they're going to be able to utilize that small ball or with Jackson and make sure that the glass isn't an issue, because it wasn't against Portland. They had a lot of athletes on the court, and those teams usually gave Pelicans trouble right on the glass in those two bad months, but they didn't against Portland. So, like I said, I like how it seems to fit that what the Pelicans are doing well or did well in that Portland game, that they'll be able to do the same things against Golden State, which kind of offers a similar type of problem in terms of the two good players, play and Jordan Poole, and just the feistiness and energy they bring by playing those small ball lineups.
Yeah, Ollie, I mean, what you said about Klay Thompson, I think, is really good point, too. I mean, if you look at some of his games recently or over the last month or so, especially when Curry hasn't played, there's teams that have gone into games trying to take him out and make it so that he doesn't, you know, score 40 points or 30 plus, and he's still been able to do it. So I'm curious to see if the Pelicans can try to limit him a little bit, because, I mean, the Warriors have won a bunch of games, especially at home lately, where the main reason that they won was because Klay Thompson went crazy, even though the other team is devoting every possible effort they can defensively to make sure that that doesn't happen. So that'll definitely be important tonight. Ollie, I wanted to kind of pull back kind of a broader topic. Just overall, I mean, I know you've been doing this for a while and you've been around the Pelicans fan base for a while and just seen kind of the ups and downs and that kind of thing. I was wondering, you know, since you started doing this, what do you think are some of the biggest changes that you've seen, or the biggest, you know, improvements, upgrades that you've seen in terms of the increase, I guess is a better way to put it, in terms of the fan base and the fan support? I mean, what are some of the biggest observations you've seen over the last bunch of years in terms of just maybe the increased popularity of the team in the city, and just kind of how much more ingrained the Pelicans have become?
Yeah, there's without a doubt an explosion of the community in terms of just sheer numbers. I think they finally, a lot of fans either became attached to or just drawn to the team simply because they fell in love with multiple players, right? It was shocking to me at just how, you know, awful the team got off to a start last season, but yet there was plenty of fans, and they seemed to be adding fans despite, you know, the losses kept on piling up in the first, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of the season. Not something you see, right? Where fans are talking about Jose Alvarado or what Herb Jones did, how excited they were about the future because they saw enough glimpses, but they also felt like they could relate, right, to these players, because a lot of them offer that blue collar type of attitude when they're out there on the court, those characteristics. So I think hand in hand, that just makes for a perfect match. So it really, in hindsight, it's not shocking, right? That, like I said, the fan base either grew in population or just became more enamored with the team. Because in past seasons, Jim, and you know this as well as anybody, it was hard to identify or, you know, become so in tune with some of these additions of the teams we saw, because either your stars were hurt, right, Anthony Davis, or they had lackluster seasons. But also the players weren't that available, right, to media. Now these guys are always interacting, right, Jose, Larry Nance with what he does all the time. That never happened in the past. And I know social media wasn't as big back then, but again, you just didn't feel a connection, right, to a lot of those players on the teams that were, you know, typically under during the Del Demps regime. Yeah. And so that's a big problem, right? When you're not winning, you at least have to have certain characteristics for the team to offer the fans to where they can find that attachment. But it just wasn't there. So, Jim, it's been a wonderful sight. I mean, I know there were some winning seasons, right? Chris Paul had a couple of good seasons leading the team to the playoffs. Anthony Davis had a couple as well. But there was never, it never felt like there was any staying power. Now I feel like there is. So regardless of whatever the record is, I know there's going to be throngs of fans talking about this team and supporting them. And I think that's just going to continue.
You couldn't have said it any better, Ollie, because that's the thing. You got the sense a lot of times, even when the Pelicans were winning, that a lot of these players were just rentals. They weren't bought in. And New Orleanians specifically are very sensitive to that. If you don't want to be here, scram. And when they weren't available to the media, when their attitude wasn't, you know, very positive towards the city, you know, that we felt that. And when you look at the Pelicans players now, they enjoy being here. They enjoy, you know, interacting with the fans. Larry Nance hopping on a Spaces on Twitter is crazy. The memes after the game, you know, meeting these guys, it's interesting. They're not, you know, you don't want to say jocks, but these are cool, funny, interesting guys who are fun to root for. Trey Murphy is hilarious. B.I. is in his own quiet way. Zion is such a nice guy. There's not a man on the team that you want to root against. So no matter what their record, it just makes it so fun to watch. No matter what they're doing, I just think it's easy for New Orleanians specifically to look at them and be like, okay, they want to be here. I want them to be here. It just seems to go both ways.
Yeah, I love that, Joe. I should have included that myself, but you're absolutely right. And further to your point, you just can see how much these players not only support one another, but just love each other, spending time with one another. I mean, there's been a lot of post-game interviews done to where there's been two of them on the podium, and they can't stop either laughing or just, you know, interacting with one another, even though we're lobbing questions at them.
Yeah,
they're always, like I said, together having fun. And we've heard plenty of stories about what they've done, whether, you know, certain guys taken out others for dinners, to go on the movies, to basically spending time all together. I mean, I won't forget when Billy Hernan Gomez told us last season, he couldn't even find, you know, an hour or two of being away from the guys for his own personal time, because they, even if they were in the same room, they were always asking, all right, where are you? It's time to play some video games, right? So they were just they've always been so connected these last 2 years. That's another thing I think that fans are drawn to, right? This team loves to play with each other, with one another. And I think that just, you know, has to lure you in even more, right? It's not just a job for these guys. They're not just showing up. They're not, you know, seeming so impersonal, right? That's the vibe I used to get from some of the locker rooms in the past. It was just very tough to connect emotionally with the players, right? Because they weren't connected amongst themselves. But that's completely different. It's done a 180.
It's funny to me, if you look back at, say, the era 5 to 7 years ago, how many players, and this is not, to be clear, this is a lot of them, it's not their fault whatsoever, but how many guys just kind of passed through for a year or two, and this was like a bridge to wherever they were going next in their career? I think Julius Randle is a really good example of that, where he was here for 1 year. He's had a great time in
Christian
New York.
Wood was here for a minute. I mean, there's a bunch of guys.
Alfred Payton is a good example. He loves New Orleans. So this is not me saying, like, you know, oh, he was just passing through and didn't care about the city. It was just the way his career worked out. He was a free agent. He signed here. It didn't end up working out long term. There were just a lot of guys that were kind of in a transitory position. And I feel like that's going away, which is a great thing in terms of...
Yeah, they're building together.
You're establishing these guys as known entities here. They're not just, you know, okay, well, this is the best I could do in free agency, and we'll see what happens after the season. It's not like that at all now. The other thing, too, I think... I mean, I've thought about this a lot over the years. Just, you know, people sometimes talk about, especially in places where they've had a ton of success... Like, well, you know, if you make the playoffs as an 8 seed or 7 seed, who cares? Because you're going to get knocked out anyways. I don't see it that way at all here, because I think the consistency of making the playoffs year after year.
They're learning how to win.
It's worth its weight in gold, too, for the players and the roster themselves, but also just the fan base. There were so many years where there was a missed opportunity by not being in the playoffs. Even if it had been a year, you know, in 2015, they made the playoffs, they got swept. It was brief. But that week makes a huge difference. Yeah. If all of that extra exposure and all that time for people to get excited about the team, there's nothing I can do about it now. There's nothing any of us can do about it now. But I just feel like when you go back and look at it, there were so many things on the table that were missed as far as just not being in the playoffs, and the season's over when the regular season ends. So I think that's another reason why, you know, making the playoffs this year is important and something that they can hugely build on to a big extent.
Jim, I love that. And then, and I think a good comparison that I hope New Orleans follows in the footsteps of is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
You know, when they entered the league, right, they were the Vancouver Grizzlies. I don't think when they were in Vancouver, they ever never made the playoffs.
Right.
Nobody ever paid attention, right, to that team until they started winning, right? They got that, what was it, that core of Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley together. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they're in the playoffs every season. And I think because of that history, that allowed for, you know, the team to draft a player like Ja Morant and for Ja to want to stay there and play there.
Yeah.
And that includes a lot of other players, right, since that core split up. So I think you're absolutely right, Jim. It's invaluable for a team to enjoy some kind of string of success, especially when you're a fledgling organization in the NBA. And the Pelicans have not really had that yet, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah, right, guys? I'm trying to think of the longest stretch of where they made the playoffs in consecutive years. What was it, just two or three,
I think,
right?
It was – yeah, it was 10, no, 08 and 09 was the last time they've made the playoffs consecutively.
Yeah, but I mean, even when we made the playoffs, it just seemed like found money. You never had that sense of swagger.
And there was no traction.
Yes.
I think if you look at, like, the 2011 team was totally separate from the 15 team. The 15 team, to a large degree, was totally separate
from 18.
They were
all one-offs. Yeah.
It wasn't like, okay, this is going in the same direction and this is a cohesive thing. Whereas I think this year, if they make the playoffs, you can say that 95% of the players are the same from the team that made the playoffs last year. So that's huge.
Yeah, and the other thing we've got to point to, right, is just having homegrown talent.
Yes.
That was the biggest knock I can remember. And I myself didn't really enjoy it, was the fact that you're always trading away all your draft picks or not really taking enough chances on the really young guys.
Yeah, for higher
right?
Talents.
Or maybe just missing, right? I mean, they did, of course, draft a few. A lot of them didn't work out. But you've got to have some young guys that you bring in that, like I said, it seems like a lot of successful franchises, especially the smaller markets, they do go that route. So you do grow an attachment to guys that you know are going to be in the city, right?
Yeah.
You're on a rookie contract, and usually, of course, almost all the time, they sign that second contract with the team that drafts them. So suddenly we see the core, right? It's not just Zion, Brandon, and CJ, who, by the way, gave all their votes of confidence in this organization, right, by signing either extensions or new contracts that signals they're going to want to be here for a very long time. But also, like I said, getting that homegrown talent. I mean, now it's awesome just to hear Jose all the time talking about how he doesn't see his career in any other uniform than in the Pelicans uniform. I don't remember players ever talking like that in the past.
Absolutely. And it's just so inviting to see, you know, when a player like Josh Richardson, who is the one anomaly outside of, you know, players that are sort of here and together in the offseason, he just seemed to fit in right away because they are so welcoming. And it is such a vibe of, hey, come join us. We are a squad together. It's just so great to see fans walking into the Smoothie King Center with a sense of swagger. They're holding their Zion jerseys up and, you know, shaking them at me and stuff. Whereas before, even in the playoff years, we were sort of happy to be there. It seemed like people were just there to see a show. And now you see fans expecting to win. And that, to me, is fun to see, especially the young fans coming in. And let's hope we can keep it going, Ollie. I mean, we got a tough stretch here, but then you hope we can make some hay. And, you know, we gotta hope that the Pelicans can make that push down the stretch here. Only 19 games left, man. Let's go.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I'm just so happy that they grabbed that first win on this three-game road trip up in Portland. Like I said, if you're going to pick one team that you're going to just get that one win, it was against Portland. But now you feel like maybe you can build some momentum, right? Warriors are going to be tough. Jim already mentioned, you know, Golden State's one of the best home teams out there in the association. And right now they're playing pretty darn well, despite the fact they don't have Steph.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a stat I just heard the other day. Golden State is 20-18 with Steph. They're 13-12 without him. So that just goes to show you can't really, you know, rest on your laurels just because Steph isn't playing. There's a really good team there, even though, you know, they're not playing that championship style caliber of ball from game to game, not like last season, but they can beat any team on any given night. And then, of course, the Kings. There's not a better story, I think, than Light the Beam crowd, right, in Sacramento.
Yeah.
They've wallowed, you know, in just miserable seasons, it seems like, right, for eternity. It's been 16 years, right, since they made the playoffs.
Right.
And this season, it almost seems like a lock, right? They're sitting in third place.
Yeah,
they're
feeling themselves, yeah.
Yeah, and I love it. So those are going to be two difficult matchups. But if you could just get maybe one, steal one there, Then all of a sudden the schedule looks great, guys. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you've got, what was it, I think four games at home. Thunder, and then after that, you've got two games in Houston. So you've got opportunities to suddenly stack together a whole bunch of wins if the Pelicans indeed have turned some kind of corner in Portland.
Yep, and let's hope. I mean, I think the Pelicans, if anything learned, there are no wins on paper anymore. After those losses to the Magic, et cetera, they learned, especially shorthanded. They got to come out swinging, and you got to hope it continues. Ollie, thanks so much for hopping on the podcast. We needed some sunshine in what were dark times. That win helped, but, man, you helped as well. And always glad to have you on the pod, man.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Big, huge thanks to Mr. Ollie Cosell of the Bird Rights. Man, Ollie is always great, and just great stuff from him talking about how we can move forward after that Portland win and make some hay. I love that Steph is coming back against because, man, the West is getting interesting, and it's going to be a lot of interesting matchups that we keep our eye on here.
For sure, and I think Friday night is a good example of how we've talked a little bit about how there's so many teams in this group that inevitably some of them are going to play each other, which means that someone has to lose. So, I mean, if the Pelicans can put together some wins, they're going to automatically gain ground on someone. This is a good – Friday night, Minnesota plays at the Lakers. That's a huge game.
Yeah.
Friday and Sunday in a two-game series, baseball style, Utah's at Oklahoma City. So there's another example of you either are going to, you know – possibly move ahead of Utah, who's slightly in
just
front of you
ahead
in the standings,
or
just add more ground between you and OKC. I think the Thunder, by the way, on a side, they have to be a little bit concerned that if they keep losing like this, that they're going to be out of the race. And we'll be talking about 12 teams for 10 spots instead of 13. But either way, a lot of games that are going to be interesting to pay attention to this weekend. Another game tonight, too, Clippers at Sacramento. Just from the standpoint of the Clippers need to win.
Yeah.
They've lost a bunch of games in a row now.
Yeah, who still believes in the Clippers as a real force right now?
And it's not like they've played terrible, but they've just found a way in a lot of cases to lose the game. Last night they got smoked in the second half. Besides that, they've lost a couple close games. But I wouldn't want to – at this point, I wouldn't want to be in a position of, like, we've lost a bunch of games in a row, we really need to win, and now we're going to Sacramento to play them. So
yeah.
I'm curious to see, you know, how that goes. And then Golden State, Lakers, we – alluded to this a little bit Sunday. Should be a really fun game
together
to watch
like a raccoon, you know, about that one.
Yeah,
it's just so many scenarios, so many gymnarios. I'm going to keep trying to shoehorn that in. It doesn't quite fit, but I'm going to do
it. We'll work on that. Yeah.
Man, tonight's going to be an interesting one. 8:30 pregame, 9 p.m. tip. Get caffeinated. Stay up late. You know, you just got to hope the Pelicans can, you know, as Ollie alluded to, you look at this stretch, Warriors, Kings, Mavs. Okay. That's pretty tough. You got to hope you can win one, maybe two of those. And then, boy, it looks juicy. Thunder, Trailblazers. Let's hope we can keep them in their place. Lakers, Rockets twice, Spurs and Hornets. I feel good. Now it gets a little tougher after that. You got to hope you can, you know, sort of win some games there. But man, I really feel like right now, I don't know. Maybe I'm just putting my bib on and just rubbing my hands together with my fork and knife too early, but it feels good, Jim. I believe in the Pelicans again.
It does, and hopefully we'll be saying the same thing Monday coming off a win against Golden State. I'm curious to see what the Pelicans do in terms of lineups and if they can go back to some of the things that worked
on
Wednesday against
Portland.
Interesting
stuff we saw,
The fourth quarter was great. They put Herb Jones at the five, and that was a pretty instrumental part of the fourth quarter, just pulling away. They outscored Portland 31-19. I thought it was great, too, to just see him in some different roles. Ollie alluded to this as well in the conversation with him, that sometimes you want to try to get him closer to the basket.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, too, if you think back to when he was in the draft and he was coming out, and we didn't know that he was going to be coming to New Orleans, obviously, but people talked about how he was really almost more of like a power forward in college. He also played some point guard. He's a good playmaker, good passer. But I think there were a lot of projections that people said, you know, he's going to be somebody that plays in the paint on offense. The thing about it, though, specifically with New Orleans, is that when you have the front court that they have, you have to put him in the backcourt.
Right.
That's how he ends up as the starting two guard, because you have Ingram, you have Zion, you have Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah.
You can't really say, like, okay, I know we have all these guys, but you're going to play all your minutes at power forward or small forward. So, yeah. But in a situation where a couple guys are out, I think it's just a perfect opportunity to try different things with him and get him playing closer to the basket, maybe get him some more cuts for some layups and dunks, and just using some of the other skills that he has offensively beyond just the jump shooting part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough for him. You know, it's been tough for to watch Herb on offense sometimes, and just being able to utilize his skill set in a more effective way. He's so versatile. You know, he gives such hustle that it's just finding ways for him to succeed on this team. First of all, I got to say it's because of Herb Jones, because, you know, he is Herb Jones and he's great, Alabama. But also because of Ferb Jones. I got the Ferb Jones sticker from at Retro Pels on Twitter, and I've got it prominently displayed in the studio here. And, you know, after I put it up here, Herb Jones just flourished at the five. So let's just hope Herb can keep it going, man. I want another W. I'm feeling greedy. So let's go, man. 9 p.m. tip. Jim is going to be out in the street just dancing in front of the Smoothie King Center. I know it's an away game, but he's trying to keep us hype, and we appreciate that.
I didn't realize that was my plan tonight, but now that you have me on I guess I'll start working on my dance moves and my steps.
Yeah, you don't want to come to step to Jimothy. He will stomp the yard on you. And we are the Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Thank you so much for joining us. Big thanks to Ali Cosell for hopping on. Big thanks to you for listening. We are everywhere iHeart podcasts are. Spotify, iTunes, tell your friends and pals. And follow us on Twitter at Podcast Pelicans. We love interaction. We'd love to hear from you. We will talk to you once again on Monday, hopefully talking about another W. And until then...
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Join us three times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, presented by SeatGeek.
Sweet fruits.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.